Good morning. We're going to talk about the subject of joy this morning. And as we look and consider this particular subject, as you can see, we want to talk about experiencing joy, because it's not something that we should just be able to say about or talk about that we have, but we want to learn how to live a life of joy. If you will, open your Bibles with me to Psalm 16. There's some things here in verse 11 we'll talk about, and I think there's some really, really key things that we should know. And of course, I'm going to compare some things from the Old Testament and the New Testament about joy that God wants His people to have. And one thing that we'll notice is that God's Word really does focus on joy, and it focuses heavily on joy, that, as a matter of fact. So here in Psalm 16:11, he says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So just the idea of the life, the path of life that God wants to have, part of it includes joy. And we need to try to have this so that we can experience this. And there are some things that we'll see from His Word that will help us to know this. And His presence is fullness of joy. One of the things that we learn as we grow and mature in the Lord is that He is with us, that He is in us. And in that sense, His presence is with us. And we should have joy just for that. In Galatians 5, verse 22, of course, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And so, you know, one of the things that God blesses us through His Spirit is this joy as well. So as we think about these things, the New Testament is just as focused on joy as the Old Testament is. For example, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoicing always. There's something that He wants us to have. In Romans 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope. So hope is one of those things that will help us to have joy. And of course, Brother Paul in Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So we see this reiterated time and time again. And so we know that joy is a Bible subject. It's something that He wants us to know and understand about. This fellow, Billy Sunday, made a comment on this. He says, if there's no joy in your religion, you've got a leak in your faith. And we can understand that, can't we? I mean, the faith teaches us to have joy. So if we don't have that, then there's a leak somewhere. We're not where we need to be. We're not understanding or doing something that God wants us to do or understand. And so we must decide to develop this joy of the Lord in our lives. It's one of the things that He puts there for us that we need to learn about and understand so that we can actually experience it. We must learn how to experience joy in our lives as well. But there's a problem, because some people actually say that they have no joy. And the reason is they say they have nothing to be joyful about. In other words, they're focusing just on bad things. Well, you know, a question that we might have, have you ever read God's Word? Have you read the Bible? You know, if you have, then you've missed something. You've really missed something there. Or maybe you've forgotten about something, and you need to rehash what God's Word teaches us about this. And of course, that very idea, the life that He wants us to understand and have, the path of life that He teaches us about, as the psalmist began to tell us about, includes joy as well, this joy that God wants us to have. And there's a problem with this particular approach in life, that this negative approach, that is, if everything has to be perfect for somebody, then of course, we're never really going to experience joy. If that's the determining factor, that everything in the world has to be perfect for you, or the way that you see it has to be exactly perfect, then you're really never going to experience that kind of joy. Of course, that's a false type of joy anyway, because it's based on man's preconceptions. And of course, there's always foolishness and lacking in that. But Jesus Himself actually warned His disciples, and he warns us at the same time, and helps us to understand about things, even though He says here that there are going to be troubles. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. And that's another thing that will help us to have this joy. But He says, in the world you will have tribulation. So that's something that we can't skirt around. We're always going to have some kind of thing that we're going to have to deal with, some kind of struggle or what what have you. But he continues and says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so, you know, the joy, this cheer that he wants us to have is really hinging on what he has done and what he's made available for us, what he's done for us and with us, of course. So he even tells us that we're going to have trouble. So again, that false kind of joy we need to just forget about. We need to understand that, but we can have joy even though there are going to be tribulations, as Jesus is talking about here. Something else is that God's joy in our life will make us happy, but the pursuit of happiness in and of itself will not always bring us joy. Yes, we may pursue it, but of course, there's always going to be those roadblocks, those pitfalls along the way. So just the pursuit of it isn't going to bring us joy. And of course, this worldly happiness that so many people think about because we hear about it in society, is foremostly caused by circumstances. Whatever happens to you makes you happy. And that's the world's, version of joy or happiness. But God's kind of joy doesn't, have just that. God's joy does not depend on our present situation, the kind of joy that he's talking about. It can exist despite whatever our circumstances are. And so, as we think about this, let's look over in Philippians 4. Again, Paul, talking about these things in his life, helps us to understand how that we can actually be happy or content. And, you know, someone's truly content, those other words are going to fall into place as well. Those other things. But as he talks about here, he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. That's a big lesson right there. So again, that's opposite of what the world would see or think about, but whatever situation we are, we need to decide in and of ourselves to have that contentment. And we'll see a little bit more about that in a moment. But he goes on and says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. And that's kind of a key thing to think about, is in all things he's able to do this. In all situations, he says, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he concluded, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So in whatever situations he was going to be in or circumstances, he was going to have this contentment, and he was going to have his supply through Christ. Christ was going to help him do whatever he needed to do. But again, this contentment is so good for us to have. And of course, earlier on in this chapter, we can look at, and he says in verse 4, for example, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So he is talking about having this joy in our lives in living for Jesus. Then down just a few verses further, we see that no matter what situation that we have, we can still be content. So we need to understand that God's kind of joy doesn't depend just on everything being perfect. Our circumstances don't have to be great, you might say, by other people's standards. We can still have that joy and contentment. Now, God doesn't want us to be under our circumstances either. He doesn't want whatever situation, if we can look at it in a bad way, for that to get us down or to make us negative. But he wants us to have a joy in whatever situation that we are, like Paul was talking about there. And so look in 1 John 5 and verse 4. And we'll look at John 8 also. But it talks about our faith here. In 1 John 5 verse 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So he's talking about us, God's children, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So we see these subjects of having victory and overcoming certain things that the world puts out, and we can overcome that, and we can be victorious over all those bad things. Of course, ultimately talking about sin and death and all the effects of those things are won through Jesus, or we have victory through what Jesus has given us. In John chapter 8, of course, talking about sin and situation that we get ourselves in when we break God's law. In verse 32, Jesus is teaching here, and he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's, you know, when you're free from something, you have reason to be joyful. You have reason to be thankful and all those things that go along with that. But down in verse 34, he also said, most surely I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. But then in verse 36, he also says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And so there's another reason to rejoice, because we've been made free from all those things that, sin brings with it. So we have a lot of good reason to be joyful and realize that we are victorious and overcome through Jesus Christ. So we don't have to be under various circumstances and, whatever other things come along. We don't have to be feeling like we're in a bad situation. But God tells us to rejoice even when it doesn't seem to make sense to some people. If you'll consider this also, in James chapter 1, in verses 2 through 4, I think most of us are, familiar with this, but it talks about us to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He says, said it wrong. It's James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. He says, brethren, I count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So, again, when you fall into various trials, he says to count it all joy because of the opportunity that we have there to grow and to become complete the way God wants us to be. In 1 Peter 4, there's another situation that we see about living for Jesus. And in living for Jesus, he talks about how people are going to look at us. He says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is going to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may be also be glad with exceeding joy. So, and if we're able to suffer for Jesus, then, and partake of his sufferings, in a sense, then, we also should be able to rejoice, even though we may be suffering in other ways. So again, joy is this joy of the Lord that we see that he wants us to have, and that we've seen his people have throughout the ages here. And God, of course, tells us to take control of our life by rejoicing. If you go over to Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they were having a great time here for a while. They're preaching the word, and all kinds of good things were taking place. And then what turns out is they made some people mad, and then they brought them to the authorities, and then they end up beating them and throwing them in jail. And so going through, being taken and then go to the authorities, and the way they did things back in these days, it wasn't very nice the way that they treated them. Of course, not only did they throw them in jail, but they threw them in the inner prison where you really can't get out. And on top of all that, they bound their legs in those shackles. And what was their response to all this and suffering for the Lord and just them doing what they should be doing and trying to help people get to heaven? Well, you'll notice here in Acts 16 and verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So even though they went through all that suffering and all that they went through, they still were rejoicing. They still were praising God through all this. And of course, everybody was listening to them there. They had a captive audience, didn't they? Well, but there were some good things there too. As it turns out, the jailer and his household ended up obeying the Lord later on in this chapter. But we need to take control of our life. We need to let the joy of the Lord still come into everything and serve him and worship him no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. Of course, God's kind of joy is not some kind of emotion that happened because of something that happens to you, but God's joy is a tool for us to use to take control of our life. Now, if you go back with me to Nehemiah chapter 8, God's people were in quite a predicament here. And turns out they're coming back from being unfaithful and slacking and doing things that they should have been doing when they should have been serving the Lord. And they're learning a lot of things. And here they are reading and they're learning, and people are helping to teach them God's truth. And if you go back with me to verse 8, they read distinctly from the book and the law of God, and they gave the sense. In other words, they helped them to understand it and helped them to understand the reading. And so there's a great reading here when they read the whole law of God. And then, of course, Nehemiah, who was a governor Ezra the priest, the scribe, the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep," for all people wept when they heard the words of the law. Of course, they realized, you know, the situation they were in, and they needed to make things right and do the things right, but he wanted them to keep a good attitude no matter what was going on in this situation, because it was a holy day. And he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those who nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our God." So they're, you know, told to help people out there too. That's going to help them as well. Then he says, "Do not sorrow." So God doesn't want them to sorrow like that. He says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the joy of being able to do what's right and know and understand all those things helped them to have this joy of the Lord. And it was going to be their strength. It was going to help them through all these other things that were, you know, going to bother them in their mind. And then he goes on in verse 12, "All the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and rejoice greatly." There it is again. They rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. So again, one of the things that can help us have this joy of the Lord is understanding God's word. When we learn and when we understand, that should give us joy as well. So there are a lot of things here that we can see, even lessons that we can learn from back here even, that will help us to have the joy of the Lord. So the spiritual understanding brings joy in God's, you know, with God, of God's word, and it brings us this goodness that we need to have and experience. How can I lay hold of the joy of the Lord, though? Okay, we need to, of course, work on understanding the law of the Lord, like we just saw there. But we need to lay hold of the source of God's joy as well, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, that's part of what God gives us through the Holy Spirit is joy. And of course, you know, the second one he listed there in Galatians 5. When he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so on. So it's one of those things that we have that the Spirit gives us. And turn with me real quick. I want to also add over in Romans chapter 14, in God's kingdom, this is some of the main things that he wanted to point out to them so they could stay focused and do what God wanted them to do and have what God wanted them to have and understand. He says, in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." So these things are all important for us to have. Joy is one of them, as you see, in the Holy Spirit. This joy that we have in the Holy Spirit will help us to have this joy and experience this joy. And so, how do we do that, though? Let's look at some more things here. How do we lay hold of that? Well, as we see later on, actually, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And he says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." So if we fill our lives with the things the Holy Spirit gives us, this is going to begin to teach us how to have and experience this joy. How? What he says in verse 19, look at that. "Surround ourselves with more music that glorifies God, and he will give you this joy." He says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." This is one of the things that we can do to fill our lives with joy. It will help us to do that. Also, in verse 19, there's another thing. When we pray, he says, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, when we pray to God and thank him for what he's done, then he will give us this joy as well. But also, another thing that we can do, as we see in verse 21, is find a way to serve others, and God will give us this joy. He says, "Submitting to one another in the fear of God." So, this is another thing. All these things here we see in that context will help us to have this joy of the Lord. So there are a lot of interesting things here that we can know now and understand in order to be able to experience this joy that God gives us and that he wishes for us to have. So as we conclude this morning, come to Jesus and begin experiencing this joy of the Lord. If we can help you somehow today, let us help you to understand a little bit more so that you can become a true disciple of Jesus, or even if you know that you what it takes to become a child of God and be baptized and wash away your sins in Christ. So let us know if we can help you. But at this time, we'll go ahead and dismiss and go to our classes. Thank you.